I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to worship at the altar of music and comedy. The giddiness and the harmony of a well-crafted comedy song brings great joy in abundance. Join the tinkling talents of David Thames and me, Phil Nickel. Sit back, turn it up, and enjoy Songs in the Key of Laugh.
Yes! That's right, Phil Nickel. It is Songs in the Key of Laugh, and this is Series 3 and Episode 4. I'm with David Thames.
It is. Hello, David. You just referred to yourself in the third person, so I'm going to try and do the same thing. It hasn't worked as well.
You just said hello to yourself.
I know, but that's fine. Hello, listeners.
Hello, listeners.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Last week we had on the wonderful Pat Cahill. We hope you enjoyed
the interview. It was so nice to get to know Pat. I know that you've known him for quite a while, but it's nice to have him round at Casa del Phil.
He's a lovely man. He's a cool as a cucumber, that guy.
He is very cool.
And as crunchy as a carrot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You probably heard, if you've been listening regularly to our podcast, that we've now got ads on the podcast. We do have Patreon, and we're starting to put Patreon stuff up. You probably noticed we've got some bloopers that are coming up, and we have trying to have lots of fun stuff so that you can join the Patreon, and you can get advanced listens. So we're putting out, for our real hardcore listeners, our podcast a week early, so you can join Patreon and listen to them a week early. Or you can join Ko-fi and, you know, buy Dave Knight a coffee.
We do like coffee. Yeah. It keeps us going.
Absolutely. Oh, listen to the back catalog. There's like loads. There's so many great episodes. The Harry Hill one. There's Rich Hall, Rialina. I mean, the whole, go back to Nick Helm, right? Go back to the start and listen to them. If you've heard them all, listen to them again. That's what we're here for, to waste your time. Coming up later in today's show, we're going to be talking about singing. I think that our theme this week is singing. We're going to be having our comedy song contest.
And we'll be doing our attempt to write a nativity.
Yes.
We'll continue that.
Our dictionary improv musical.
Yeah, possibly the most offensive nativity that's ever been written.
And keep listening, because we're going to have, one of our best interviews yet, done in person at Casa del Phil del Sol here in Casa Phil Hole with our guests,
Flatten the Curves.
When I was in the womb, I've heard this story. I don't remember it.
Okay.
But I used to love... Who was the guy who did Countdown back in the day? Richard?
Richard Madley.
Was it? No. I can't remember his name. Anyway, that's one of the stories. The other one is...
That's not a story.
That's just named a guy.
Yeah.
You mean when you
said Countdown?
When you hear
I love Richard Whiteley. Exactly. And I loved him. I loved him. And my parents used to watch that when I.
So we've already mentioned the ads, right? And
yes.
I know that lots and lots of podcasts have got advertisements and stuff. But I genuinely think that the podcast has only really made it when you get asked to do the ads yourselves for the product.
Yes.
So, you can listen to any podcast, and Fern Cotton does one for pants.
Yeah.
And I think Bob Mortimer, he does one for beer. And so everybody does their own ads for things. So I was thinking, well, maybe we could push things along a little bit.
Right.
And maybe we should just come up with our own ads.
Right.
And then maybe somebody will take us on. But I thought, what kind of things would we want to advertise? And I thought, well, I'll leave that up to Phil.
Oh, well, thanks. And what springs to mind? I just remember there's a type of chocolate in America, in Canada, called turtles. They're called turtles, and they're like little chocolate. I think they're pecan and caramel on the inside. They look like little turtles.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
And the commercial goes, turtles, turtles, yeah, 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 turtles, turtles, ha ha ha. Oh, I like turtles. So we could do a Turtles. Well, we just did it.
Well, we there we go.
This is basically a walking ad for Turtles. Well, I imagine people listening to the show right now are going to go, ooh, where can I get some of those?
Or there's going to be a sudden influx of people going into pet shops buying
Turtles.
Turtles.
And eating them. Whether you're a hugely popular singer like Beyonce or you're obscure, maybe even like a street performer like a busker or something like that, the joy of the songs is in the singing, right? And obviously there's instrumentals, you know, there's lots of funny instrumentals. But when it comes to comedy songs, what really sells these songs is their people's ability to sing them. And obviously the better singer you are, the more beautiful it is to listen to. But that doesn't always sell a comedy song. You can, there's a lot of other ways of selling a comedy song other than just with an absolutely fantastic voice. But it does help.
It definitely does help. I mean, I'm thinking straight away, one of the first things that comes to my head is like Mana Mana. Right, that's that is a comedy song.
Mana Mana.
Do 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 do.
Mana Mana. Do do do. Well, actually, yeah, the Muppets had loads of. Grover is not a great singer, but he sings a lot of the songs.
He does sing a lot of
and
the songs.
You immediately know it's Grover. It's like Neil Young. No, Grover's not like Neil Young. But Neil, you instantly recognize Neil Young's voice.
You do, yes.
And all those great singers, some have a timbre or something where you recognize their voice. And that happens in comedy songs as well. We've had quite a few, even in the comedy song contest, we've had a few people return and you know their voices. You can say, oh, that's Eddie Johnson. You know who it is. And I think that's an important part of the comedy song. I was thinking of one of my favorites was a woman called Madeline Kahn, who worked with Mel Brooks and was nominated. I think she was nominated for an Academy Award for Blazing Saddles, and she's just got this most beautiful, tender little voice. She's got a funny attitude and a tender little voice. And actually, she sang a song with the Muppets, with Grover. I think the song is called Sing After Me.
Sing what I sing, sing after me. Be my echo if you can be. Sing die, die, die.
Die, die, die.
Do, do, do.
Do, do, do.
Low, low, low.
Low, low, low.
Pick a peck of peppers.
Pick a peck of peppers.
Diddle, diddle, dee.
Fiddled. You've got to be putting me on.
Such a beautiful, like, soft, calming voice.
Yes. She's wonderful, Madeline Kahn. And if you don't know her, just Google it. There's loads of stuff. And she's also obviously been in all these. She was in Cluedo, I think, is one of my favorite performances of all time.
Okay. I do have to pull you up on one thing, though. Grover?
Yeah.
Sesame Street, not the Muppets.
Well, yeah, he is a Muppet.
He is a Muppet.
You're
all right.
A Muppet.
Well, maybe
you're
I am. Maybe.
You're a bloody Muppet,
all
mate.
Right. Oh, I'm a Muppet then. That's fine. Lovely. I'd like to take us back quite a few years, and we're looking kind of music hall area.
Okay.
Just coming out of the music hall, you've got some amazing performers who were able to sell songs, but they would be selling them to their live audience in a way that only these particular artists really could.
Sure.
In particular, I'm thinking George Formby.
Right, right. Yes.
Didn't have the best voice, but was able to sell a song better than, well, he's still known today.
Yeah,
as
he's renowned.
Absolutely renowned as one of the best entertainers around.
In fact, that sound that he has is the sound of music hall. When you hear it, you go, that's the sound of music hall.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
He's more of a speak singer.
Absolutely. There's lots more speak singers, though. There's like, I think Stan Holloway used to do that. Frankie Howard, a bit of Benny Hill used to do lots of that kind of thing. And then you had people who kind of honed their craft and were able to speak sing it, but they had the voice to kind of match it. And I'm thinking of people like Noel Coward.
Right,
because he had the voice there as well.
Sure.
And he could do those really intricate melodies,
yeah,
but he would still be selling the song in the same way.
But his songs are really fun to sing as well, though. He, like, those songs are really lyrical and full of fun rhymes and rhyming schemes.
They are 100%. Should we have a listen to one?
They're out of sorts in Sunderland and terribly cross in Kent. They're dull in Hull and the Isle of Man is seething with discontent. They're nervous in Northumberland and Devon is down the drain. They're filled with wrath on the Firth, the Forth and Sullen on Salisbury Plain. In Dublin they're depressed lads, maybe because they're Celts. For Drake is going west, lads, and so is everyone else. Hooray, 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 misery's on the way. There are bad times just around the corner. There are dark clouds hurtling through the sky. And it's no good whining about the silver lining, for we know from experience that they won't roll by. With the skull and the frown, we'll keep our peckers down and prepare for depression and doom and dread. We're going to unpack our troubles from our old kit bag and wait until we drop down dead.
I mean, Noel Coward is a great singer.
So that's good.
It's instantly recognizable as Noel Coward. And I think that's true for all the singers we're discussing. One of the modern ones that I love is Reggie Watts.
Yeah.
Who is the musical director for The Late Late Show. If you reckon that's mostly, he's got big hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's so sassy. He's really great. But he's got a great comedy act. And he started off doing, I guess it's stand-up in a way, but he'd use loop pedals. But he's got a phenomenal voice. So when I remember first seeing Reggie and I thought, why is this guy doing comedy? He sounds like Marvin Gaye. He sounds like all the classic soul singers, but he's using it to sing the daftest songs in the world. It's not a comedy voice necessarily.
So do you know him then?
Do I know him? Yeah. Yeah.
You've met him?
He performed in Edinburgh. Yeah, we know each other quite well, I think.
Very cool.
I mean, I haven't been around his house.
I mean, we should get him on the pod.
Great singing is about phrasing. It's about timing. It's about a joy, you know, like the Flight of the Conchords, great singers. But I don't think there is anyone better that brings more pleasure than Tiny Tim.
I'm sorry, Tiny Tim, the one with that...
Tiptoe through the tulips.
With the high voice.
That's the one.
Tiptoe through the wind.
One of my favourite comics who died doing what he loved.
Incognito.
Oh, no. Oh, rest in peace. No, the other one, Tommy Cooper. Yeah, he was very, very good at this kind of speak singing thing, and he could really, really sell a song.
Yeah.
Daddy came home from work tired. His boss had been driving him mad. The kids were all shouting and the dog bit him too. His dinner was nothing but boiled over stew. I guess it was then he decided that up to the rooftop he'll go. He was about to jump off when the kids started howling below. Don't jump off the roof, Dad. You'll make a hole in the yard. Mother's just planted petunias. The weeding and seeding was hard. If you must end it all, Dad, won't you please give us a break? Just take a walk down the park, Dad, and there you can jump in the lake.
When it comes to funny voices, this goes back to my teenage years in the movie Diner. And I remember hearing for the first time Clarence Frogman Henry. I ain't got a home, I no place to roam. I ain't got a home, I no place to roam. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home. And I got a voice, and I love to sing. And I sing like a girl, and I sing like a frog. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa
I'm a lonely frog. I ain't got a home. What you say to me? Please say to me. What you say to me? Please say to me. I'm a lonely frog. I ain't got a home. Woo, 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 woo. Frog.
Oh, my voice is so. I'm to do an episode on singing when you can't sing, Phil. You're an idiot.
Comedy song competition.
Contest.
Competition.
It's the comedy song contest, David.
It's definitely a competition.
Thank you so much for the submissions. They keep pouring in.
They do. We've had loads, haven't we,
if
Phil?
You've got a comedy song that you want to enter the competition, send it to songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We'll have a listen and hopefully we'll play it on our show. Yeah. This week's submission is from an artist called Nate Ziller.
Nate Ziller.
And the song is called $1 billion.
One multi-billionaire could give $1 billion to a random person and make them a billionaire.
Give it to me.
One multi-billionaire could give $1 billion to a random person and make them a billionaire.
They'd still be a billionaire.
One multi-billionaire could give $1 billion to a random person and make them a billionaire.
I want
to
be rich.
One multi-billionaire could give $1 billion to a random person and make them a billionaire. Let's count to a billion. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
High numbers.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28.
Let's just skip it. A billion.
We continue.
We do continue.
We do continue with our attempt to write a nativity musical using our, well, what was the dictionary? So originally what we did is we get the dictionary.
And and put our finger in the dictionary and pick a word. And yeah, but
we don't have a dictionary. So we're now using Dave's piano tuning book.
Yeah, so that's what we're using. What have we got today, Phil? What's the word?
The word, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Opening it up. And the word is mouth.
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 Mouth. Okay. Mouth. So God's just spoken to Joseph.
Wow.
The angel Gabriel's spoken to Joseph just to let him know everything's cool and, you know, it was God. So it's all
back
good.
Back off.
But yeah, kind of. So now Joseph and Mary, they need to do a bit of traveling. They need to get over to Bethlehem. That's what they're doing.
Why were they going to Bethlehem? Because they need to. Why were they going back to Bethlehem?
Because that's where you have babies. I don't know. Why were they going back to Bethlehem?
Don't know.
Okay, well, that's where they decided to go. So let's do a song, shall we?
Always like traveling, but never by mule. I thought you had a car, dear. Oh, Mary, you fool. This is all I got from my dad. He wouldn't give me the keys. So get on this mule, let's head to Bethlehem, if you please. Bethlehem, we'll stop on the way. I'll buy you a pizza. Oh, that's good, cause I'm really hungry. I'm gonna be good to you, Joseph. I love you so dearly, Mary. I hope you're gonna have a nice birth when we give birth to the Lord. Ah, 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 oh. angels are watch over in us as we travel on to the nativity scene in Bethlehem. If you'd like to enter our comedy song contest, why not send your comedy song contest submissions to songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com and check out the details at songsinthekeyoflaugh.com. There's a 200-pound prize, 50 pounds for the runner-up. Why not do it today?
It's guest time, Phil.
It's guest time.
Guest time.
And guess who the guests are?
Guess the guests.
We heard about this group through the Edinburgh Comedy Festival. Katie Baker, Izzy Rowright, Arabella Rodrigo, and Charlotte Brooke, and they are
Flatten the Curves.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's what we do. We yell flatten the curves. It's flatten the curves, you guys. This is what we do. We yell the name of the person, like it says insert here, and then we just insert your name. So, you know, if it's Tim Minchin, we say Tim Minchin, but then this week it's flatten the curves. It's flatten the curves, David.
I know. It's like you've got a personalized jingle, and it's just a really cheeky way of making everybody feel really, really special.
It's clever,
so,
and I do feel special.
Yeah,
do you
feel special? Welcome. Yeah.
So, flatten the curves. Let's go. We've got Katie Baker.
Hello.
Yeah, we've got Izzy Rowright.
Yep.
We've got Charlotte Brooke.
Yeah.
And Arabella Rodrigo is not here because she's just had a baby.
She has.
Oh,
what sort of excuse is that?
Do you know
what?
It's lazy, isn't it?
Really is, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a lazy woman.
Yeah, she had it a week ago. Get your act together. Get here now. That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. Give it to someone. Don't you have childcare? I mean...
That's definitely not how it works.
I'm looking at David because David's just a baby. David's got a 7-month-old baby.
Yeah.
Might be 8 months by the time this interview goes out.
But you've just come off of an Edinburgh run.
Yes. Yes.
Does this mean that she was doing the show all the way through?
She was 8 months pregnant doing the Edinburgh Fringe with us.
Wow.
And she is a superwoman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
she was amazing.
Did you think at any point that the baby could drop during the run, or was that not a possibility?
We wanted it to happen just for publicity, but she refused to let that happen. So
we did check the local hospitals around our flat. That's as far as we went to pre-plan.
Yeah.
There was nothing else. We didn't even prepare an alternative show, to be honest.
I know. No. She just had to do it.
And your show is about, I mean, I want to talk about Flatten the Curves, but I actually just thought about the baby thing for a while. Mm. Your show is very much about empowering women and about strong women and the songs that we've seen you do, women are at the forefront of it, and that's a pretty big show off thing to go, and I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Eat this, man.
100%.
Most guys, they get the sniffles going, I'll have the night off, because
you know, I've got a sore throat or anything. There's a woman pregnant.
Yeah. 8 months pregnant. Remember
8 months
that.
Pregnant. And also, this is a complete digression. I've got a thing about babies in the womb.
Where are you going?
What
with
is this?
No, I've got a, I don't have a thing about it.
Yeah. Right. We don't want to know about your kids. No.
I'm just curious about how much input the children hear through the from inside the mum. So. I have a strong belief that the syncopation of the mother's heartbeat is why we are musical creatures and why people sing. That must have some effect on your musicality when you are finally given birth to and let free into the world. Not to mention the physical makeup of the person, genetically the person's vocal cords. Have you ever thought about that, or
I've never thought about it. No,
sense.
I like it a lot. Yeah. I think I like it a lot.
You can have perfect pitch. You can train a baby to have perfect pitch if you get them at the right time.
Funny you should say this.
Okay.
So we've found that if we're playing so after dinner every night, Sunny will turn over and she looks straight at the keyboard because she wants to play it. And she plays every single morning, every night she plays and absolutely loves it. But we found that she'll sing along, and if I change key, then she will change the key that she's singing in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I honestly, this whole thing is just making me so fascinated, and I'm thinking that I've got a genius on my hands.
Yeah.
But if she's not musical, I would be a little bit sad because
but, yeah, it's in your blood. It's in both of our blood.
Yeah. So I mean, but you were mentioning about hearing songs that maybe you were hearing in the womb.
Yeah.
Now Kim's in Pretty Woman, and so the songs that are in that, if those get played and if she's crying, instant stop.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I had it with when I was in the womb. I've heard this story. I don't remember it.
Okay.
But I used to love. Who was the guy who did Countdown back in the day? Richard
Madley.
Was it?
No.
I can't remember his name. Anyway, that's one of the stories. The other one is.
That's not a story.
That was his name, the guy.
Yeah.
You mean when you
said Countdown?
When you hear
I love it. Richard Whiteley.
Whiteley.
And I loved him. I loved him. And my parents used to watch that when I was in the womb. And then when I was out of the womb, what would calm me down is sitting there, like looking at Countdown and like waving a belt around. Loved that. And then also the Emmerdale theme tune. You know,
that's not Emmerdale.
Oh, what is that?
That's EastEnders.
Which one was it then?
It was that one.
That's EastEnders.
I heard that a lot in the womb, and then the first time.
How do you know? She doesn't even know the name of the program.
And then when my dad played it, because my dad's a musician. When my dad played it on piano and I was like sat on his knee, I would get the right note right at the end.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So I liked it.
Jesus. The theory is right. We keeping that in? Yeah, we keep that in.
We're definitely keeping that in.
We didn't actually warn you about Charlotte, did we?
Music was all around us. A click of railway tracks. The music is... I don't understand how you could ever think that that's a bad thing, and it soothes wild animals. It makes babies stop crying. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And you guys have chosen it, flatten the curves as a profession. So, let's see how
got
we
a tear
go.
To my eye.
Let's go down the line and see. Let's do a little run up history to the formation of Flatten the Curves. Let's start with Katie. Where were you at? How did you get involved with these cats?
With these guys. So years and years ago, I was in a band called Four Femmes on the Thames.
Okay.
And through people having lives, it had to finish because everyone wanted to do something else. I'd always wanted to do comedy and always wanted to write and sing and do all those things. And Izzy was a dep in the band, and I was also in Shitfaced with Izzy. So when the band ended, after about a year, we were like, this is ridiculous. It was such a good product. It's... four women, we need to make this happen again. So we were like, let's just do it. And then the old pandemic happened. Then we got Charlotte involved, who was also in Shitfaced with us, and we know she's a musical genius and is a comedy legend. So we were like, right, let's just join forces. I randomly text Arabella, who I'd met once, and said, mate, got this project. What are your thoughts? She said, yeah, because she's mad and wild.
Where was she from? Where was
so
Arabella from?
She was a friend of mine, and he was always saying, you gotta get Arabella on board in a band. He's from Australia, if you didn't know that.
Okay, right, yeah. Yeah,
and he does talk like that. He'll love to hear that accent back to him. Get Arabella on board. And I was like, oh, God, shut up. And then I thought, I just heard his voice coming into my head, that lovely nasal Australian voice, like a dreamlike right. quality. And I went, oh, I'll get Arabella on board. And we did.
You know, the fourth person. That
she was, yeah.
It's amazing how those little seeds that are sown by yeah. something as simple as that, even though it's probably, to me, that sounds amazing. That sounds like you just suddenly, that comes to you when you need it.
Yeah.
The piece comes to you. Yeah. So I think it's really important to always be putting out positive affirmations and making connections and mentioning people's names.
Yeah.
And not keeping it to yourself, because you never know where that's going to be years down the track.
100%. And like, especially with women, we want to eventually work with a whole female band and
absolutely.
Call them the Mammary Band.
Well, you guys should talk to Katie
that's
Pritchard.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah.
Katie Pritchard does.
Oh, I love Katie. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, but she's like multi-instrumentalist
yeah.
and plays drums and sax and everything like that.
Yeah.
The kind of person I could see being the MD of one of those all-female bands.
Yeah.
Because she's got a group, an all-female group anyway.
Yeah.
A vocal group.
She's great. Yeah. Yeah.
But so that's Katie. So
yes.
Izzy, before that shit-faced. Which I'm not even sure exactly.
I'll explain what that is.
But it sounds fun.
It is fun. So that's the show that I produce, which is a musical comedy show.
Right.
You know Shitface Shakespeare?
Yes.
Yeah. So I, having graduated drama school, decided I didn't actually want to do musical theatre, which is what I trained in.
Yeah.
Well, and I still kind of do a version of it, but it's comedy.
But what put you off doing musical theatre?
I think I wasn't interested in the world surrounding
right.
musicals. I found it quite a lot of drama school is a lot of pressure for people. I left drama school and I didn't like the competitiveness and I wanted to make my own thing. I
yes.
didn't like the idea of going into Mamma Mia and having
right.
to be a certain size and, you know, I wasn't particularly inspired by the story, you know.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant story. in case anyone is listening.
But you want to be creative. On top of using your musical skills, you want to be creative in the sense that you want to, like, develop your own stuff. It's more
yeah.
interesting for you.
Okay. Exactly. So... I started Shitface Showtime, approached the company Shitface Shakespeare with the idea of doing a musical
right.
with a drunk person. And the premise is that you perform a version of a show,
yep.
but then 4 hours before the show, one actor starts drinking.
Right.
And come the show, you don't know what's going to happen. And you improvise your way through the show to basically...
Okay.
Yeah, it gets mental.
Yeah, okay. So I've always thought... I've seen it. In Edinburgh a few times, and the mental health aspect of this, how can you have, so I'm guessing that you kind of, you rotate who's going to get drunk each night. Okay, and then does the person who gets pissed, do they get a night off the next night?
Yes, most of the time.
Okay.
You never, so we rotate the cast, so you never know who's, we've got a sort of basic idea who's going to be on that night. But if someone's not ready to drink that day, you know, they've broken up with their boyfriend, they're not feeling up to it, any reason, we'll just switch someone out
yeah.
and get them to play their role.
Do they ever break up with their boyfriend after the show where they've been drinking?
For ages, we had a rule that no partners were able to come and watch because it was just a bit... It's a weird thing watching your partner vulnerable and not being able to kind of take
yes.
the lead.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we sell Shitface as a kind of rock and roll show that, you know, we never know what's going to happen. But the thing is, we've got a book that's sort of as thick as my thumb about how to do
thumb.
It right. It's a big thumb, yeah. about how to do it safely. So
yeah, sure.
it's
well,
very
yeah.
organized mess,
yeah,
essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get back to it, but the music in Shitface, is that original music or is that?
It's not. No. It's essentially
standards.
Yeah. But we write the script and
right.
it's usually based on a
a historic title, essentially. So we're doing a Pissmas Carol this Christmas at Leicester Square Theatre, which we've been doing for a while. So yeah. But yeah,
and what's the weirdest, what's the craziest thing that's had someone just passed out and not been able to perform anymore? Or?
We've never had that. We've had pizza ordering during the show for the entire audience. and then cast having to eat pizza for the rest of the week.
Well, who paid?
The company.
Fantastic.
I didn't know that. I'm getting it. Exactly.
I'm trying to think what's happened with you guys.
I'm drunk every day, so it doesn't matter.
But yeah, it can get... You never know what's going to happen.
Sounds fun.
So both of these two, Charlotte and Katie, did that.
So you're trained musical... It was a musical theatre or music, a musical theatre? Are you trained musical theatre, Bod?
Yeah, I trained as an actor for the musical stage, so they just kind of left out the dancing. So not equipped for musicals at all. Okay.
And is it some? So would you guys recommend that for any young people that might be listening to the podcast?
No.
Okay.
I loved drama school, but I don't know. I think that the world is changing a little bit. People are making their own thing.
It's weird because everything I've been cast as has just been a Cockney barmaid, a Cockney loud angry woman, a Cockney this. So I've not used any of my acting training. It's just me. I've been cast as me.
But that is acting. I mean, I've trained actor.
Darling.
You just end up getting cast. I get cast as really loud Americans or drag queens, so I don't really get to use any of my acting training. Never get to play, you know, anything interesting.
Yeah.
But I think
that's why you've got to create it yourself. That's why I love doing what we do, because you just write your own shit, and then are we allowed to swear? Write your own stuff. Yeah, write your own fuck.
We've just been saying shit face for an hour.
The number of cunts are listening to this.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem, write to us and leave your email. Yeah, but that's true. I think it's true for a lot of actors. They just end up being cast in the same, the exact same thing over and over and over again. So I can see how this could possibly develop into... You know, right now it's sort of a stand-up because you're doing it in the quickest setup, the smallest stages. But as you guys expand and you get a backing band, once you've got a bit more money behind a production, I can see.
Yeah, we do. We've got plans for like the 5-year plan.
Yeah,
we want to develop a sitcom, develop a musical.
Right.
But at the moment we're enjoying the stand-up aspect of it and trying to develop the songs, I guess, and see what works and what doesn't.
Sorry, I haven't seen your Edinburgh show. I didn't go up. I had to look after the whole child this Edinburgh, so I'm sorry about
no
that.
No excuse.
is there a through line through the show? Is there
from song to song, really?
Yeah, okay. There's a slight link between songs, but through line, no, it's about female empowerment and making people laugh and the observation of women and how we think about men.
And largely sisterhood, really.
And sisterhood, of course.
It's a rich theme, that one, how women feel about men.
Mm.
I think it's something that's coming to the fore, in the last 5 years, the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously from, you know, the beginning of the century, but the last 10 years has been a huge shift.
Especially
in Western culture.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of shit, and there's still a lot of awful things happening out there. I mean, let's not get into that politically.
You have to be serious about it because what you're doing is a tonic to that.
Exactly.
We're watching what's happening in Iran, and we know if you're a decent human being, you can't help but be appalled by that.
Yeah. It's trying to not make light of that, but just give people a good time, and even the men that leave the room kind of go, oh, yeah, we are dicks.
Yeah. Well, you're completely right, but if people weren't making this art, then and it wasn't being done, it's like, you know, it is done in quite a large volume at the moment, but if it's really... Yours is so good
Oh,
it's
thanks.
Like watching people leave with these huge beaming smiles, and also watching a lot of men who just shut up.
Yeah,
is so important. You know, because I was watching. So you came and did the Cray Cray Cabaret at the Comedy Store with us the other day, and it was so good.
But when
you would go occasionally go out into the audience and you go really really close to some of the men in the audience.
Yeah.
And I mean, God, they get so uncomfortable. Mm. But their reactions are really weird. Mm. Like, there was one guy, I can't remember if he like slapped your hand away or whether it was some sort of a slap thing happened. And I was just like, oh my goodness, how do you get away with that?
Yeah.
But it was you were so strong. And while you're in that position, and while you are, you know, you're towering above these blokes in the front row, you have got so much power, and you use it so well. So I don't really know what I'm trying to say, other than the fact that it's such a powerful message that you're putting out there, that every single person who goes in is being affected by it. And if we weren't having shows like yours, then the change that we've seen over the last 10 years wouldn't have happened. So it's so important.
Oh, thanks, it's all down to us specifically.
You guys are going to change the world.
Change the world, so, guys. No, yeah.
Well, we've got the third and last but not least, Charlotte.
Hello.
You're normally the pianist in the group. You are the music backbone. Is that would that be right?
Absolutely, the composer.
Do any of the other three play musical instruments?
I'm gonna tambourine.
Yeah, I play the tambourine. Yeah, Kate, so I just need to get that out there.
Plays the sad tambourine. Yeah, sad tambourine. Like no other person I've ever heard.
So when it comes to the writing of the stuff and it comes to the arrangements, you know, are you the mainly the person that puts down these songs or that crafts the songs, the musical part of the
musically
songs?
Yeah, but it is a collaborative effort, so we'll all sort of sit down, have a chat about the sort of stuff that we want to be talking about, the sort of stuff we want to put out there, and then a lot of the writing tends to happen sort of over WhatsApp, I would say.
Yeah. Right.
We'll have chats. Katie will sort of structure all the ideas into a pot and then throw it over, dabble on the piano a little bit, or guitar, or track, depending on what the song's going to be written with. Yeah. And then it'll just be a collaborative sort of back and forth, I would say.
And when you were listening to, you used the one backing track for IKEA. I've made that on Logic, and that's your...
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so lots of Logic play. I like that stuff, actually.
Yeah, right. Have you been working with Logic? Have you been working? Like, how long?
Yeah.
How long did it take? Are you self-taught? Did someone show you how it
works? Actually,
did
it at school. In music, we were very lucky. We were a tech college, so we got the cheeky little Apple Macs there, and then I started using Logic then, and then I've always sort of had it to write my own stuff and. Just dabbling about and then learning and then learning from other people and then learning some more.
I think the thing I like about Logic though is it's got like it's in just again it's made things so accessible for like it's got the beats and the sounds and it does so much for you and it's very user friendly.
Yeah,
people
definitely.
People probably ringing in going, "That's crap, Phil," but. But I think there's the more and more stuff we're hearing, like on TikTok and the stuff that's sent into our song contest, and you realize it's really high quality production because you can do that in your lounge now.
Yeah.
You know, whereas before that would take a huge big studio to achieve what you achieved. It sounded really good.
So you play the piano, you play the guitar.
Yeah.
What's the rest of this list? Does it go on for?
Accordion and the ukulele. I think everyone does that one, but the ukulele. Is that a jab?
Didn't you get
people?
A clarinet? You
can I've got a red clarinet.
Red clarinet.
Yeah. Right.
So, and are you classically trained? What's your first instrument?
First instrument's piano from the womb, as said earlier. My dad's a pianist, so I learned from when I was very small and little, and then clarinet came in, and then guitar. There was just one knocking about, or it was at school and I took it, And then it was knocking about.
I currently have two accordions, both of which I was given.
Yeah, I was given my... from a dad's friend. Boring. But yeah, I was given one of those.
He was boring.
No.
You might be listening.
No, I was hearing myself. And yeah, so piano, main one. And then I sort of learnt that through the father. Thank you, Dad. And then started writing stuff from sort of an early age on that. And then, yeah.
Do you remember the first thing that you wrote?
Yes, it was an instrumental called The Fireplace. And right.
How old were you?
I was five. But it was literally just like three notes, and then I played them from the top of the piano to the bottom, and always tried to get my parents to listen to me playing that piece of shit. But I named it the Fireplace. It was lots of fun. Well, and I just said fireplace at the end of it, and that
was
it.
Didn't you write a song about one of your teachers or something?
Oh, yeah, that was the ukulele one. I wrote an education rant. And I compared all of the senior leadership team to people in Hitler's cabinet. I put it on YouTube, and and then I was told if I didn't take it off YouTube, I would be banned from prom. So I took it off YouTube, and then I put it back on.
And then she won prom queen.
I was prom queen. Yeah.
I think it's really interesting as you get older though, and as you do more, you get more of a body of work, and you start to look back at those. Little things you've written as a teenager, mm-hmm. and with a bit more fondness and a little bit less criticism of your own work. And there's a radio show that Rufus Hounds, and it's called My Teenage Diaries. And you go on, you basically get your diary out from when you're. And I didn't really have a diary, but I've got all the poems I wrote for girls. I was like,
oh,
I was a poet.
Cute.
And all this, and it's just really, they're really bad. Like I've got one. I think the first song I remember writing was like when I was 12 or 13, called "You Are Like Gum on My Shoe," and it was about how I couldn't get rid of the thought. Your gum on my shoe.
This needs to be an episode of the podcast.
Let's have a diary.
So I went back to Canada. I dug it all out. It was all these like stacks of papers I kept, and I kept all the letters and stuff. And I was in love with Andrea Smith. I rewrote the lyrics to "Baby, You Can Drive My Car" to Andrea. I love that name. Doom 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 doom. Anyway. I had it all here in my house, and I had a kitten. I had a kitten called Dippy, and we left Dippy, and Dippy made a nest of all the papers and chewed it all up, and so all the original poems and all the stuff that I brought back from Canada to do the show was in. I had them in like a little IKEA shelf space, and I came home and most of it was absolutely ripped apart, and I was so devastated. God.
And there's no cat in this house.
No, you just added that bit to it. You just added that bit to the story because now we can't go and get all of these poems.
No, honestly, I wouldn't know where they are.
Dippy.
And I believe I was so pissed off. I chucked the whole thing. There's probably some stuff that I've separated, but most of it you can't. You
oh,
able
that's such a shame.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's some sad music. Yeah.
Dippy, why are you such a bitch? And a cat be a bitch.
Yeah.
Cat can be anything it wants to
anyway,
be.
Anyway, Dippy ran away. So
with your diary.
Dippy ran away. Anyway.
Sure. Dippy ran away.
So
into
what's
the bag
what's
into
next
the river.
For
the IKEA bag.
Next. For what's next? What's next for Flatten the Curves then? You've come off a great Edinburgh.
Yes.
You came highly recommended, and then we saw why. You're obviously going to be gigging and ripping the storming place apart. As Arabella, you got plans for Arabella to come back once the baby can speak?
Yeah, of course. The spot is once the baby can speak.
Hopefully before the baby can speak.
Yeah.
Whenever she's ready.
Whenever she's ready and wants to come back, she is... welcome to come back.
Are you having to jump on her harmonies?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got a gig tonight, actually, and I've sort of started hyperventilating on the tube. Oh my God, I don't know any of Arabella's tracks.
We just have to change things around a little bit, so it's just a case of I'll be out from the piano a little bit more.
Yeah.
and that changes for me. And then a few of our harmonies have been spread about in different ways.
Right. Do you like being out from behind the piano?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
I like both.
Learn the choreography and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, she refuses. So you don't do the choreography.
And to be fair, there is one of those today that we'll be doing, that we won't be doing.
Yes, okay. Thanks.
Okay. And so are you working on a new Edinburgh show? You're doing Shitfaced at Christmas.
We are, yeah. But we're continuing to gig. Mm. We've got some Christmas shows lined up. And next year, we'll see if Arabella's back by that point, but we're just going to give her a bit of time. And if we're carrying on as a three for a bit, and then we'll see how it goes. But yeah.
And you thought about doing the festival. Like, you know, I was thinking, as I was watching you guys, that you'd destroy at Glastonbury in the cabaret tent.
Yeah, love.
You would do Latitude, they would kill on the Latitude. In fact, they've got a couple of different stages. They've got the main stage, but they've also got a cabaret stage, don't they, at Latitude. So
you'd also kill at Orlando Fringe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
Have a look at that one.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Would like to go there, yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That you'd do really well there. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's such a good act. I mean, thanks, honestly.
Oh, still
such
good.
Wonderful harmonies. And it was so nice to play with you, actually, as well. We have such a variety of people who we play with at Cray Cray. And some people will come up and I will be given... Sarah Louise Young, she gave me years worth of music which was absolutely perfectly written.
Yeah,
and I was like, right, well, yep, this is absolutely fine. And then you get other people who turn up and it's just, you've got to watch my hands on the guitar and everything will be okay. So but it was so nice to have such power coming from the stage, and we just were able to add little bits to it. So,
well, Sarah
nice.
Plays with Sarah plays with Michael Ralston, who's like, you know, probably top end of that cabaret pianist accompanist. Yeah. And I know, but I mean the writing, the idea of getting it written out so that anyone can pick it up is just
it's integral. When I've done things previously, I run a charity in South Africa, so it meant that I was going off quite often and was leaving acts with music that I'd written with no pianist they'd have to have a full band to cover what I was able to normally do on the keys. So I would have to write out everything in like the best possible way so anybody could play it.
Yeah.
So it's quite an important thing. Don't know why we've got onto that, but we have. So there we go.
I wanted to ask, because our listeners tend to be music comedy aficionados, or freaks. And we're also trying to bring in, we also want an audience of new people trying to people to discovering musical comedy songs. What do you, are you guys influenced by musical comedy songs? Is it something you had a passion for, or was it just you just like music in general, and that's, you know, and then comedy, you know, some musical comedians just like music in general and then they do comedy because it's just, you just don't have to be quite as musically gifted, they think. To perform,
well,
a comedy.
Well, that's where we're going to change this.
I know. Well, that is kind of one of the remits of this podcast, is to kind of shine light on how
it's seen.
Yeah, it's kind of ubiquitous around us. You don't even realize how much, even if it's just like incidental music in ads, or sound effects, or all the music that's behind Looney Tunes cartoons. There's all musical comedy. Those are great performers and composers. And if you listen to Looney Tunes, the orchestration of it is actually genius stuff. Mm. You know, and they would have done it with full orchestra. So, what are your influences? Let's start with Izzy.
I suppose having had a background in musical theatre, there were musicals that I loved to do. Well, at drama school, we did The Producers, for instance. So that was
my favourite musical in the world.
It's one of my favourites as well. Good. You did Jerry Springer at drama school, didn't you? So, I mean, I've always preferred those sort of comedy musicals, but also, you know, your classics, Victoria Wood, and I loved Flight of the Conchords growing up. That was, you know, something I was obsessed with. Mm-hmm. I think we are all kind of united on that, aren't we?
Yeah, that was huge for me.
We're hoping to get them on at some point.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Well, I think sit in the corner. One thing that we do quite similar, they have a lot of different styles, and we like to use
different genres of music. Yeah. We kind of go, oh, what's this song about?
Yeah.
And how can we do the complete opposite genre of music? So we've got a song that is about porn, And we thought, okay, what would make this funnier? Opera. So we've done an operatic song about porn and how it's bad for women. But yeah, I'm quite similar. I trained in musical theatre. I've always loved music. More old school music for me. Like I used to hang around with some great people at school. We were all, you know, whether we like it or not, we were dweebs. But we were cool.
Haven't heard that word in years.
Dweebs. Good word.
We were the theatre nerds.
The theatre nerds.
We thought we'd be
the coolest. We were so cool, but such losers, but really cool.
Thin leather ties.
Yeah, exactly.
You could always tell them because it was like you take two steps and then do a kick.
Yeah.
Two steps and then do a twirl. But yeah.
Wave in jazz hands.
Yeah.
But we'd listen to Flanders and Swan. We'd, you know, make up our own songs. We'd make up random harmonies. And I've always wanted to do comedy. And I've always wanted to be a singer, so the two came hand in hand for me. I was like, right, fuck it, I'm going to do both.
Yeah. I love Flanders and Swan. The thing I like about those, that old, you know, Cole Porter and just the lyrics. Are,
yeah, they're beautiful and they're so
magical,
clever.
Magical, you know. Yeah, really clever.
Yeah. And I think it's been quite musical comedy. When you say it, people kind of roll their eyes and go, oh, yeah, all right. But we've had people like Tim Minchin come up. Bill Bailey's so cool now. Flight of the Conchords. People that are, like, making it... I mean, I love Fascinating Aida, and they are obviously a huge influence on what we do. We're female. We do harmonies. We write our songs. Mm. But they made it really cool for me because I was like, oh, my God, these women in their 50s singing about this... dogging is amazing. I love it. So I thought, okay, we could really crack this, and you know, hopefully I think we're on a road to, I don't know the word, to good.
Well, they're a good comparison for you guys, because of the musicality, so the strength of vocals and juxtaposing you know, like sort of body lyrics with really strong voices, and also they're really strong. All of them really strong women, political women, and not eloquent. Off, like when we interviewed them, incredibly eloquent and like poised. I guess.
Yeah, they're great.
So it's different than and not there's anything wrong with slapsticky comedy lyric musical comedy stuff, because someone like Tim Vine, for instance, is just like knockabout. It just serves a purpose in the show, but again, it's just really beautifully done, and it's tuneful and melodic. So I think a Fascinating Aida is a really good comparison for you guys.
We call ourselves Fascinating Aida meets Little Mix meets the In-Betweeners.
that's
pretty spot on.
Do you know if they're aware of you yet? Have you worked with them or
no? I met Dilly once. I did a workshop with her. And she heard one of my songs and then said, no notes. And that was the best day of my life. I've met Adele a few times. I've met Sarah Louise Young, but I haven't met Liza. That's the only one. Yeah. She's, I mean, they're all amazing. And I mean, Dilly to me is just, she's just fantastic.
She's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Oh,
she's,
God.
We had the absolute pleasure of interviewing them for the last series.
Amazing.
And so we did.
Yeah,
we did
I heard it.
You heard it.
Yeah,
they're just the most wonderful people.
Yeah.
We were just talking there. We had threw out a few different names, like Flanders and Swan and Fascinating Idea, and the way that they do so eloquently put their songs. Is musical comedy, is it... is it slightly more highbrow, would you say? Because we've just, like, using a couple of the examples that we've been throwing around, I would think that it has maybe a particular audience that sits with. Is there a way that maybe musical comedy is starting to become more of a, I don't know, more accessible, or is it something that is for a particular audience?
I think TikTok is really opening up that world of it being a bit more approachable, because I certainly know my friends who aren't don't have anything to do with the theatre or musicals, or they are starting to get it a bit more. You've got Munya
Chihuahua.
He's made it really big, I would say, of late. So I think it's having a bit of a new moment.
I think so too.
And the sisters.
Sugar-coated sisters.
They're massive on TikTok, and they're having another moment.
I saw them
moment.
Live. I did a thing for the Musical Comedy Awards.
Mm, yeah.
And then they were on one of the semi-finals.
Yeah, they're fab.
They were fantastic.
Yeah, they're great.
What about you, Charlotte? What are your deep musical background? Is it? Were you into comedy music growing up?
Yeah. We've said them, but Flight of the Conchords was huge for me, and Tim Minchin was a big one.
Right.
With the piano, of course. So that was I started writing songs with my sibling, and we just did stupid shit all the time. We wrote about like Radox shower gel. We wrote about just random mundane objects, and that was something that sort of got me into that side of things. And then just writing through experience as well. And I think for me, I have to be at a point of if I'm very angry about something, it's very easy to write something. If I feel very strongly about something, it's very easy to write something. Or if I feel very silly about something, it's very easy to write something quite silly. Mm. I think just the way that we've mentioned them so much, but Flight of the Conchords just take silliness and make it really clever. Yeah. Like, I love that. And I want to always do that forever, actually. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, being Brett, I'm not saying that Jermaine isn't musical, but Brett is really the musical genius in that he's able to play almost anything.
Mm.
And he's a multi-instrumentalist. And I went to see them in... He's got another band called Video Kid, which is just like a Kiwi rock band that he plays in.
And oh, amazing.
And they're awesome. If you're a musical comedy... music nerd, you can look up Video Kid, and that's Brett McKenzie from the Flight of the Conchords. And he's also just put out a solo album of like songs he wrote while on the road, and it's like a sort of jazzy. I don't know what genre it's in, but it's a bit like it's the kind of music you would hear at the end of a Disney animation or something like that. It's really cool.
Must listen.
I've heard rumors of a musical as well. I don't know if that's been...
I imagine.
As in a Flight of the Conchords musical?
Oh, no, I think one of them is involved in writing a musical.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know
if
that's a rumour.
He's done so much, though. Mm-hmm. His volume of work. He also
played in a band called the Black Sorrows, I think they're called, which is like a Kiwi, who's a piano player in that band. Is there like a reggae outfit? It's part of Wellington called Cuba Street, where it's like it's like sort of white reggae, island reggae. So you get a lot of Maori singers, and that's where Fat Freddy's Drop came from. So if you want to hear more of Brett, you can hear that in the Black Sorrows and Video Kid. I think it's Video Kid.
Yeah, we'll look that up.
Yeah, it's kind of curious. I'm a big fan of the Flight of the Conchords. They kind of changed. They took musical comedy. I was in a musical comedy act. I was in a trio, right? So years before that, we hadn't seen anything quite. There was nothing quite like that up until that point. It's easy for musical comedy to get into this sort of very basic. We Dave and I kind of make fun of it by doing like change the word of a song and musical parody.
Yeah.
But when you can get a concept, I'm trying to think of like those Monty Python and the great musical comedy songwriters. I guess it's Eric Idle.
Mm.
It's when you get a concept and you can play with it to the point that it's completely twisted. You just wring every single joke out of a premise.
Mm.
And the Flight of the Conchords do that really well, as well as recreating the music musically, recreating the genre. So if you're doing opera, you do opera as well as so you want an opera singer to sit there and go, wow, that's great.
Mm.
Not like, you know what I mean? I think a lot of people let themselves down by making I'm making fun of it, so I don't have to do it very well, you know. Mm. So I think that's
but you can do opera badly and then you know it's being done badly, But you don't do opera badly. No. You do opera. Have you had any operatic training?
I had an opera singer as a teacher.
Yeah, right.
I was classically trained for about 6 months and then I got bored. So I was like, no, thank you. I'll stick to jazz.
I did the classicals. Yeah. I did the grade situations. That was mine.
And Arabella is like just the
insane.
Most, yeah, phenomenal vocalist ever.
So are we saying that Arabella is the best of the four of you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By a mile.
By far.
She's going to be so happy when she hears this.
Cut that out. Bit.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your Edinburgh show.
Yes.
I didn't go to Edinburgh this year, sadly, so I have not seen the show. But we have seen some excerpts of it. Mm. I mean, there's a couple of songs that stand out. There's the IKEA song, which we talked about before, which is just like a great sort of angry disco track. The one that stuck up for me, and it may be because it's why you got it as the last song. Mm-hmm. It's the comparison of the vajinji to the bahubi.
The boo-boos.
I love those words.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, it's the song.
And I mean, obviously, I don't know if it's been voiced quite that way before, but you do. I don't know. I don't know. Why don't you tell me what the song's about?
Yeah. So we end the show with a song called Woman Up. End it because we feel like we've earned the right to end it this way. It's what we call our feminist anthem.
Yes.
But it's a complete direct comparison of when people say, oh, why don't you grow a pair? Why don't you man up? I put my balls on the line for this, all of that. So it's all those ridiculous sayings that we have about male genitalia. And when we sing it, we flip that and we put it as female genitalia. So it's like, I put my cunt on the line for that. Stop growing a pair and woman up and grow a twat. Now... When we wrote it, I have to state this. It's obviously a joke and it's obviously about that literal comparison. That is what it is. It's the complete, why do people say grow a pair of balls when it means be manly and be strong and be masculine, but grow a pair of balls, man, come on, you got to grow a pair. When they're the most delicate part of any human body is a pair of balls.
Little floppers.
Yeah, and then you think, how can you say grow a pair of balls when you just say grow a twat, because they are pushing out babies, they are taking a pounding, they are doing, you know, they can...
Big strong girls.
Yeah, big strong girls. Get some hairy muffs out there. That's our... that's the end of our show, so we like to have people walking away empowered by that.
Throbbing!
Yeah. Exactly. Jesus.
And they do
throb. They do love it.
Big time throb.
That's how we like to end our show, with a feminist anthem. And it's not specific. I know the words, we have 17 different words for vagina in it, but it's not literally grow, like, how to be a woman you have to have a vagina. It's just saying, come on, women are fucking strong and women are fucking amazing, and we should stop saying that you've got to put your balls on the line to be strong. So yeah, that's our ender. But to get to that point, we have many different feminist little propaganda.
We've got Shimmy Shake, which is about taking a bra off.
Yeah.
That feeling when you get inside and take your bra off.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
We've got Hen Do, which is just about a hen do.
Yeah, the police are here. Duck, please.
They hate us.
They hate us.
Sorry, so hen do.
Yes.
I have been and played at several hen do's, and I can 100% tell you they're the worst experiences of my life. Yeah. Why?
They are.
Why? Why? They, like, they are.
Because you get a group of women who, you know, in their own right are amazing, but when you join forces of different groups of women, so you've got, especially at Hindus, you've got your best mate, and then you've got your best friend from work, and then you've got your sister, and then your nan's there, and they're all very different humans that are interacting. And that's not to say just because you're a woman you don't have to get on with every woman that you meet.
Oh, you do.
And
not.
The more the alcohol flows, the more reckless and nasty and feral they get.
Feral is the correct word.
Yeah,
and so we really go for it. Yeah, feral wise. Yeah.
And I've been to many a Hindu, and I'm usually the worst. Yeah. So.
I've avoided all Hindus.
Have you?
So far.
Can I just, as a word of advice from me, just carry on avoiding them.
Thank you.
I've been dressed up in so many different things. My worst one was being beaten with...
Oh, here we go.
Beaten with a dildo whilst being dressed as Jesus.
Delicious.
That's the title of our next song.
This is going into the stuff that gets edited out of the podcast.
We've just spoken about a few of the songs in your show, but I think our listeners and I would love to hear one of your songs, if you would be so kind as to play one for us.
Yeah, of course. So the one that we'll do for you is, I know we talk so much about musical comedy and that, but this is quite a serious song, actually. Yeah, deadly serious. It's really about sad. Someone we know very well in the streets of London. You probably met them too. So yeah, we're going to do this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the lonely man who boards the 136? He has nothing but the coat on his back and a pack of pick and mix. It's always late at night when he gets on to that bus. He waits until it's empty. He doesn't like the fuss. 'Cause he's a flasher. He's a flasher. The coat on his back is a flashing mic. He's a flasher. He's a flasher. He's a flasher. He holds his bells to reveal his bell. He's a flasher. If you ever ask him, why'd you flash? He does back up his coat. He looks into the distance and he says this, and I quote, "My father always taught me everything he knew. You won't be so surprised to know he did that too. He was a flasher." Does he ever think of changing things we wish we knew somehow? But one thing that we know for sure, he's on that bus right now. We think that he's moved on and he's doing other stuff. He probably gets too cold for being in the buff. Now he's a wanker. He's a wanker. He looks his dad in the eye till he makes you cry. He's a wanker. He's a wanker. He's a wanker. Competition stiff on the 136. He's a wanker. He was a flasher.
That was Flatten the Curves. It was Izzy Rowe Wright, Charlotte Brooke, and Katie Baker, and Arabella Rodrigo, who wasn't here because she's pregnant. Yeah. She's had a baby. Thanks, guys. Thanks
Thank
for
you
joining
so
us.
Much.
Thanks for having
you
us.
So
Thank
much.
You. Bye.
Goodbye, adios, farewell. You'll be glad to hear that we think that your interview went well. But we have other things to get on with now, so you're gonna have to go. I'm sure our paths will cross again, but whoever really knows? It's been fun, it's been musical, it's been comical at times. But now we have to leave you, so goodbye, goodbye.
What that a great fun interview that was.
I love those guys. Flatten the Curves. Go and see them. If you get a chance to see them, go and see them. They're so great live.
We were so, so lucky that they came and did our Cray Cray Cabaret at the Comedy Store.
Yes, which you
they
can go
were
and
so
see.
Good.
You can go see the Cray Cray Cabaret at the Comedy Store. The next one's in December.
Yeah, December the 7th, I think. First Wednesday that month, yeah.
If you'd like to see more or hear more from Flatten the Curves, why not visit them at their Instagram, @FlatNTheCurves, or their Twitter, @FTheCurves.
And if you'd like to support our podcast and get this podcast a week earlier than everybody else, then go and join our Patreon at patreon.com/songsinthekeyoflaugh.
Or join us at coffee.com/songsinthekeyoflaugh and give us a coffee.
We will see you all next week. Thank you very much.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.